It is great to be with you all. I was thinking this morning, if you showed up this morning because you wanted a show, you came to the wrong place. But if you showed up this morning because you wanted to be with some ordinary, weak people who have been transformed by the love of God, then you came to the right place. What an amazing God we have who loves us. And in my life, my journey, God's worked in my life for many, many years. But for me, it was in college when I finally came to receive Jesus into my life and begin a relationship understanding his forgiveness and grace. So in college, when that happened, one of the things that was really inspiring to me and really beautiful was what I saw in the church. In this church, I saw people that cared about each other. And I saw people that cared about me. And I saw people that were interested in me and forgave me, and that I didn't have to put on like a front to be around. I could be myself. And for me, that was one of the most powerful things, not growing up in church and having whatever ideas, to come into fellowship with a group of people and to be embraced and loved and to see them love others. And so I want to talk about that this morning, loving one another. And it's something in my life that has been really powerful, and it's something, I don't know if I'm greedy, it's something I want more of. With my wife, I want a deeper relationship of love. Within the church, I want an even deeper relationship of love. I want to keep going forward in that, to grow in love and to really experience that fully. And so this morning, I'm going to share a whole bunch of verses from the Bible. So we're going to start with that. We're going to go through a whole bunch of them. They are from the ESV, and they are all about one another. And so it's going to be kind of just, maybe it's going to feel like the fire hose, just drinking out of the fire hose, just a ton of information, a ton of verses. But to me, they're really powerful, and I really believe that the Bible contains the inspiration of God. And so even just in those, there's something for us. And then after that, I want to just share some thoughts on that. And there's a smaller handout. We're going to just talk a little bit about loving one another. So why don't we pray? And then that's kind of our plan this morning. Thank you, God, for what you've done for us. God, I thank you that you love me, that you know everything about me and you still love me. Thank you for loving me. Thank you, God, for the community of believers, and what an amazing gift to share love with one another and to be loved and to love. God, I ask that you would grow us in our love for one another. I ask that you would overcome anything in us that keeps us from loving others or from being loved by others, that you would overcome those, and by your grace, we would be a place that loves more and more. Thank you for your amazing unconditional love for us. We just appreciate you, and I invite you and ask you to speak to us through things I say or through just whatever you want to say. I pray you'd speak to each person here. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so we are called to love one another. John 13:34, Jesus says, "A new command I give to you, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples or followers, if you have love for one another." John 15:12, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you." John 15:17, "These things I command you so that you will love one another." Romans 12:10, "Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor." That's kind of a cool phrase, huh? Have you ever thought of that? Man, I am going to outdo this person. I'm going to love you even more than you love me. If we're going to have a competition, it's going to be a competition to see who can honor somebody else even more. That's pretty beautiful. 1 Thessalonians 3:12, "And may the Lord make you increase and abound in love for one another and for all, as we do for you, 1 Thessalonians 4:9. Now concerning brotherly love, you have no need for anyone to write to you, for you yourselves have been taught by God to love one another. 1 Peter 1:22. Having purified your souls by your obedience to the truth for a sincere brotherly love, love one another earnestly from a pure heart. Love one another earnestly with fervor, with power, with desire. 1 Peter 4:8, above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins. 1 John 3:11, for this is the message that you have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. 1 John 3:23, and this is his commandment, that we believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another, just as he has commanded us. 1 John 4:7, beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. 1 John 4:11 and 12, beloved, I like that start, beloved, you are the chosen, beloved object of God's love. If God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love is perfected in us. All right, you guys believe me, we should love each other? So what does that look like? What does it really look like to love someone? So we're going to go through and just, I categorize some of these verses. And so the first category is loving people looks like living in harmony, being at peace. Mark 9:50, salt is good, but if the salt has lost its saltiness, how will you make it salty again? That's for another message, another day. Anyways, have salt in yourselves and be at peace with one another. Romans 12:16, live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty or proud, but associate with the lowly. Never be wise in your own sight. Romans 15:5, may the God of endurance and encouragement grant you to live in such harmony with another, in accord with Christ Jesus. So love does not look like strife and fighting. It looks like peace and harmony, which all healthy relationships have conflict. I'm learning that. It doesn't mean you don't have conflict. It means you work through it. It means you resolve. You come to a place of peace. You live in harmony. Love looks like bearing with others, with their shortcomings and faults, being patient with them, not demanding or expecting a certain level. Ephesians 4:2, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love. 1 Corinthians 11:33, so then, my brothers, when you come together to eat, wait for one another. Galatians 6:2, bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Romans 14:13, therefore, let us not pass judgment on one another any longer, but rather decide never to put a stumbling block or hindrance in the way of a brother. So it's that idea of we got to put up with each other. And I know those of you that know me well, you got to put up with me. I got some stuff in my life that is irritating. Trust me, it irritates me too. You're not the only one. And we all have shortcomings and faults, and we have to put up with each other. And hopefully we can help each other grow in that, but to be patient and to bear with those things. Love looks like greeting each other affectionately. This is an interesting one. 1 Corinthians 16:20, all the brothers send you greetings. Greet one another with a holy kiss. And so this morning, I saw as people were greeting, there was some hugging and some handshakes, maybe a fist bump in there. I didn't see any holy kissing. So this morning, I'm going to have to show you guys what the secret holy kiss is for the family of Christ. I'm joking, but what I really like about this is greet one another with a holy kiss. I don't think it means you have to kiss in our culture. That's kind of, I do appreciate cultures that kiss. I think a kiss on the cheek is totally appropriate. But there's something really cool about actually showing affection to one another. It actually shows this care. And so for me, I would love to hug everybody when they come in. That's a very, very good, comfortable level of affection for me. I know for some people, a handshake is more comfortable. Sometimes when I'm sick, a little elbow bump, maybe a fist bump, I feel like is totally appropriate. But this idea of actually, and maybe even sometimes it's an affection without touch, just of like, I acknowledge you. Hey, I'm happy to see you. But we should greet one another with some kind of affection, not just walk right by each other. 1 Peter 5:14, greet one another with the kiss of love. I like how it's the kiss of love. But in peace to all of you who are in Christ. May we greet each other warmly. Love looks like welcoming or accepting one another. Romans 15:7, therefore welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you for the glory of God. Another translation of the word welcome is accept. Accept one another. Allow people to come into your company. Welcome them, accept them, just as Christ accepted you. Show hospitality. Invite people into your home, to your life, to whatever space you have, to the church, to show hospitality without grumbling. Love looks like forgiving each other. This is getting a little deeper. Be kind to one another. This is a two-for-one verse. Tender-hearted. I was thinking of that word this morning. Tender-hearted. What an interesting word that he uses. Be tender-hearted, not hard-hearted. It's so easy in life with the nature of just who we are as people to get beat up and get hard-hearted and to be, I am going to hold on to this. I'm going to be angry and frustrated. I'm going to hold it against you. And to be tender-hearted can be a little bit scary, but he's asking us, be tender-hearted, forgiving one another. Why? As God in Christ forgave you. Wow. Forgive one another. Colossians 3:13, bearing with one another again. And if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other, as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. It's like not an option. As you've been forgiven, you should forgive. What does love look like? It looks like instructing and speaking to each other, spiritual words. Romans 15:14, I myself am satisfied about you, my brothers, that you yourselves are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge and able to instruct one another. He's saying, you guys already have wisdom. Teach each other. Instruct each other. That's part of love. Love is not just letting somebody walk through life blind, but it's bringing the insight that God's given us and passing it on to somebody. Hey, I've been here. Can I give you a little advice? A little instruction. Colossians 3:16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom. Cool. Singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. So it kind of starts off with teaching and admonishing, this direct instruction to each other, but also this singing songs and hymns and spiritual songs. It's like from a heart. It's from the depths. It's not just from the intellect. That our communication to each other also includes our hearts. Ephesians 5:19, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in the Lord with your heart. Honestly, I don't connect really directly with that verse as far as speaking to one another in song. Christopher actually spoke to me this morning in a rap, so maybe we applied that. But But I think to me, the flavor is not necessarily that's like, good morning, nice to see you. But there's an overflow of melody, of joy in the way we talk to each other. Even in our kids, to our kids, those of you that have kids, the way we speak to them is in the morning, in the day, is it a joy of, I am happy that you are in my presence. It's a singing voice, not a constantly stern voice. The flavor of joy in song. Love looks like serving and caring for others, for doing good to them. Galatians 5:13, for you were called to freedom, brothers. I love that. I've been thinking about that all week. You are free. Christ set us free. You have the freedom to go and screw your life up if you want to. You do. But then he says, only don't use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh to do all those desires that you know are really not from God or of any value, but through love, serve one another. We have the freedom to serve one another. Use your freedom to give and to care for others. 1 Corinthians 12:25, that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. There's no division of like, okay, these are the people we should care for, these are the people that I don't care for. But all the pieces of the body care for one another. 1 Thessalonians 5:15, see that no one repays anyone evil for evil. Whew, that's easy to do. Hard not to. Make sure that doesn't happen. But always seek to do good to one another and to everyone. So it's in the context of someone's wronged you. What is the call? Do good. May our lives be lives that continue to do good to one another, to bring good to other lives. 1 Peter 4:10, as each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. So God's varied grace, there's different forms of his grace that we've each received. And maybe some of us are good at encouraging. Some of us are good at listening and grieving with somebody. Some of us are good at teaching. Whatever you've been given, whatever grace you've been given, use it to serve. John 13:14, if I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. This beautiful picture. It was the custom in Jesus' time for a slave to wash people's feet at the door, because they walked with very little shoes through very dirty and smelly conditions, dirt and dusty roads with animal manure, etc. So when they would come to a house, someone, a servant, would often wash their feet. And Jesus lowered himself, and he took it upon himself to wash the feet of his disciples, which is bizarre and amazing. Enough that even one of his followers, Peter's like, no, you shouldn't be washing my feet. And in this beautiful picture, he's saying, look, I washed your feet. I did the lowest thing to you. Do that to one another. Somebody described this. This isn't just washing each other's feet physically. This is cleaning each other's bathrooms. It's doing the lowest task for one another. I do think there's something cool about that image of feet, though, because my feet are kind of personal, and they're a little gross, and I don't necessarily want all of you, like, intimately touching them. But there's something cool, I think, even in that foot washing. What it says is, I will embrace the nastiest part of you with love, and I will wash that, and I will see that, and I won't be freaked out by that, and I will care for you at that level. Love looks like encouraging and building up. We live in a world, it is amazing to me, how full of gossip and backbiting and even just friends just constantly ripping on each other. We live in a world that wants to criticize and tear down everybody. But not so with the Church of God. May we be people who build up other people, who encourage and strengthen them. 1 Thessalonians 4:18, therefore encourage one another with these words. 1 Thessalonians 5:11, therefore encourage one another and build one another up, just as you are doing. Hebrews 3:13, but exhort one another. It's kind of that emotional, come on, keep going. You can do it. God is for you. Trust in Him. I know this is a dark time, but walk through it. Exhort each other every day, as long as it's called today, that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin that wants to harden our hearts and say, eh, who cares? It's not going to work out. I'm done. Hebrews 10:24 and 5. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near, the end. All the more as we see the end of times, the day of judgment coming, encourage each other. I love this. Stir up, consider how to stir up. Spend time thinking, I wonder how could I stimulate this person to love and good deeds? How could my life encourage this person to love and have good come out of their lives? What a cool thing to think about. Loving one another looks like showing humility, admitting the place we're at, where we're at, with honesty, not boasting ourselves or exalting ourselves above others. 1 Peter 5:5, likewise, you who are younger, be subject to your elders. Clothe yourselves, all of you, with humility toward one another. For God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. Ephesians 5:21, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. That's a tough word. Submitting means, you know, I think this is right. This is where I want to go. But I will listen to you. I will receive input from you. I will allow you to have a voice into my life. Love looks like confessing sin and praying for each other. Okay, now we're getting a little more tender. It's like, wow, okay. So James 5:16, therefore confess your sins to one another and pray for one another, that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. He's saying in love, we should be honest with our faults to one another. And that word confess means to admit or to agree with. And it says, regardless of what pretty image I have, let me tell you where I've fallen short. Let me be honest with you about something I might be ashamed of or just some junk in my life. Why? So that that person could pray. So that it would come out into the open. And my experience of this is the times that I have been able to confess my sins to other people who honestly understand the grace of God has been one of the most freeing and beautiful things in my life. To be able to say, look, this is where I'm at. This is what I thought about today. This is what I did. These were my motives. This is me. I just want to let you know. And to be embraced and to have that person say, I accept you, let me pray for you, is amazing. Because the worst fear is that they'd be like, man, you're not who I thought I was. I don't need you anymore. But to find that and to be a place where we're safe enough that somebody could share one of their sins and weaknesses and be a place where we would embrace them and pray for them is a place that I want to be and continue to be. And I think this is. Loving each other looks like having open fellowship. 1 John 1:7, but if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. When we walk in the light, so the darkness is that place of hiding. It's that place that we'd all love to go to, where we hide and then just the pretty picture of us is seen. But when we walk in the light, that's a place of being seen. That's a place of being exposed. When we do that, we have fellowship with each other. We share in that reality that all of us are weak and broken and transformed by God's love, not by our own doing. And then finally, comforting. 2 Corinthians 13:11. Finally, brothers, rejoice, aim for restoration, comfort one another, agree with one another, live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you. For me recently, I've only recently kind of engaged with this. We are called to comfort each other. And God desires to comfort us. It's all over the Bible. And we have an ability to comfort each other in the challenges. And that's not a place of fixing each other or even giving each other advice. It's just a place of being with each other. And all of us go through hard things in our lives. All of you probably went through hard things this week in your life. And the ability for another person to come and just sit with you and listen and to bring comfort and presence is one of the most powerful things that we can give each other. And yet it's also something that I react to and go, oh, nah, I don't need any comfort. Thanks, bro. I got it covered. It's kind of a tough spot to allow ourselves and even to bring that to somebody else. There's an uncomfortableness that needs comforting. Okay, how is it possible? I'm here telling you this is challenging for me. How is it possible to truly love each other? It is possible because we've been loved by God. That's the only way it's possible. And so God, in the midst of all of our junk and hating and destroying and brokenness, he sent his own Son into our world to be a part of that. He could have just blown us up, like, all right, whatever. He came into our world, and Jesus took all of that we deserved, all the punishment, all the blame, all the shame. He took it on himself, and he died on our place, that we would be completely forgiven. And then God rose him from the dead, that he could have new life, and all of us could have new life by trusting in him. And it's for anybody. It's for the worst of sinners, like me. It's for the worst of sinners to say, yeah, I deserve that. And to just come to Christ and say, I receive your forgiveness on my behalf. I receive your new life. I need you and I accept you. And in faith, he grants us new life, even life eternal. We give from what we've been given. And from what we've been given, that amazing love, that amazing acceptance, that amazing newness, the amazing forgiveness, we give from that. When I try to love from my own bank of love, it runs dry in about 30 minutes. I'm really not that loving. I mean, I try to be sometimes. But when I am aware of and when I have the love of God in my life, I have a river that never runs out. I have a place to love and to stay connected to his love. I'm going to fly through these. We read most of these. We love because he first loved us. Jesus says, as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Therefore, welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you. As each of you has received a gift, use it to serve one another If then I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also. We do it because that's what was done for us. We have been loved with such an amazing love. If we grasped even the smallest part of it, we would probably blow up with love. We could not contain the fullness of being loved so profoundly without it coming out. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. He comforts us that we might comfort others. He loves us that we might love others. You know, God loves you. God knows you probably better than you know yourself. Man, he's seen the worst of you. He's seen some stinky stuff. And he's seen some beautiful things in you. He made you and created you. He loves who you are. He loves you. Will we allow his love to truly permeate us? Will we truly allow ourselves to be loved? Father, thank you. Thank you that you love me so much that from your love, I can love others. Thank you that we can be loved by others. And God, I pray against those obstacles in our lives that would try to keep us from experiencing love. I ask that you would uproot those, that you would identify them and tear them down, that we would truly walk in more and more love for one another. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your sacrifice. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen.